As we continue to go over yesterday's election results, one of Michigan Radio's reporting projects decided to embed people in with one of the county clerks as the actual ballot count was going on. Will Callen is part of the 8th, the election project, looking specifically at voters in Michigan's 8th congressional district. Will, welcome to Stateside.
Thank you.
Also with us is Matt Bernhard, a PhD candidate at the U of M, who studies cybersecurity and elections. Matt, nice to have you.
Thanks so much for having me.
So you guys both spent the day at the Rochester Hills clerk's office. Will, why Rochester Hills? What was the choice about?
So Rochester Hills is going to be a very contested city in, you know, a battleground district in a battleground state. And Tina Barton, who's the clerk there, she's been really outspoken about the need to process absentee ballots a little bit earlier, possibly, because there's been a surge in the number. And I was talking with her on the phone the other week. She suggested that I volunteer for the counting board to see what it's like. And I don't know if she was expecting me to take her up on it, but I did.
You should never make a suggestion to a reporter. It's a good bet you're going to get taken up on it.
Yeah.
I mean, we should say, like, you weren't able to take any recording devices in with you or take notes on the process. But you two were just there to literally see how it works, right?
Yeah.
Well, what did you expect to see, and how would you say that matched up with what you experienced?
So because of the rise in absentee ballot applications and returns, I was expecting to be working pretty much nonstop, feeding ballots into the high-speed tabulators.
We kept hearing a lot about how the ballot preparation was expected to take a lot of time, too, just looking at the envelopes and making sure that voters are accounted for and getting the envelopes open would take time as well.
Yeah, and that did take a lot of time. I'd say that just watching the tables that were responsible for that part of the process, that was the slowest part. But Tina was treating the day as a dress rehearsal for the November election. So instead of using just two high-speed tabulators, which is probably all we needed, we used all four of them. And so the counting, once we had the ballots, went really quickly.
What time was it all finished?
It was finished by 10:30 p.m. because we still had to wait for the precincts to close at 8, at which point we took the lockbox where voters could drop off their absentee ballots and processed, you know, those final ones that had trickled in.
It sounds like it happened in batches, though.
It did happen in batches. We first worked with all the ballots that we had received leading up to Tuesday. I think that there were either two or three batches of kind of Dropbox ballots that were brought into us throughout the day.
10:30 is late, but compared with what we were hearing that it might take a couple of days to figure this out, it's not bad.
It's not terrible, but you gotta remember that I think the average age of a poll worker in Michigan is 76 years old, and so this is just a lot of repetitive, fatigue-inducing work. And, you know, the longer you're staring at paper like that, the greater room for error it gets.
Do you know the final number of how many absentee ballots were turned in?
Yeah, I think it was 8,930. So that's how many we received for yesterday. Tina is expecting there to be 20,000 in November.
For the general.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Bernhard, you volunteered too, and as we said, you're a PhD candidate at U of M's mm-hmm. Computer Science and Engineering Department. What were you there to watch for?
So I was serving as a troubleshooter. So if a precinct anywhere had a problem, you know, they didn't have a power strip, or they were out of voter applications, or they, you know, were confused about the poll book or anything like that, I was one of two runners who would go and try to debug their whatever was wrong. I would bring them supplies and so forth. Fortunately, because Tina runs such a tight ship, there were, you know, I sat on my hands for almost all of the election period. And then once the polls closed and the precincts came in, we had a couple of poll book discrepancies just because, you know, over a 13-hour period, it's easy to click the wrong button in the poll book. And so we helped kind of address those. And, you know, no voters were turned away that shouldn't have been. No voters voted that shouldn't have or anything like that. It was just a couple of, you know, last-minute checks that didn't quite line up that we had to massage.
In terms of election security, is there a difference between absentee voting and going to the polls? Is one more vulnerable than the other?
It's all a matter of trade-offs. Going to the polls has a lot of You know, it preserves anonymity a lot better. You know, if you're voting at home, you're subject to coercion by your spouse or your landlord or your boss or whoever. Going to the precinct doesn't really have that problem. Going to the precinct also has major improvements for accessibility. You know, if you're a voter with a disability, that doesn't change when you go home. So it's hard to, you know, if it's difficult for you to mark a paper ballot in the precinct, it's going to be difficult at home. But there are voting at home provides a lot of benefits, security and otherwise. You know, people can vote on a hand marked paper ballot, which we, you know is the most secure way to vote. So it's all about trade-offs.
Will, any takeaways for what might be ahead for the general election?
Well, when comparing the number of absentee ballots on Tuesday to the number received in 2016, I think it was a 51% increase.
Wow.
And again, we only counted just under 9,000 yesterday. Tina's expecting 20,000 in November. So what I imagine is that there will be a lot less downtime on the counting board in November, which means a lot more fatigue and a lot more room for error, which, you know, and each thing that needs to be reconciled holds you up for more time.
Will Callen of the Michigan Radio Project, the 8th, looking at votes in Michigan's 8th Congressional District, and Matt Bernhardt, who is in the PhD program at U of M's Computer Science and Engineering Department. Guys, thank you so much. And do you think you might go back for the big count in November?
I think I might. Tina Barton is it's going to be hard to say no to her.
So. Possibly, if I'm not sent elsewhere.
You can check out all the stories that the 8th is filing. They already have a few things for you to read if you go to the8th.michiganradio.org.